Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown studios of WGN Radio. And as always, riding shotgun with me, Jack Heinrich. Jack, what is going on, my man?
We're back.
We're back.
Still cooking.
Still cooking. Hawks are on a five-game point streak. They are 4-0-1 in their last five games. They're in the middle of a current homestand where they're starting, or I think at the beginning of last week, the Blackhawks had kicked off a four-game homestand. It was New Jersey, so they're two games into a four-game homestand, eight of the next nine at home from that New Jersey game. And we're approaching American Thanksgiving, and we were just talking on off camera with John Hansen as well. We were talking about the playoff odds, and you pulled up Money Puck, and the Blackhawks playoff odds are now up to 40.8% to make the playoffs. First of all, that is way higher than I thought. And so that's why I'm like, we need to lead the show with this stat, because I thought it was still 20-ish percent. But the stat that we usually reference is the American Thanksgiving stat. Now, if you don't know the American Thanksgiving stat, it's, I think, in the salary cap era, if you're sitting in a playoff spot on American Thanksgiving, you have like a 75 to 80-ish percent chance of eventually going on to make the playoffs. Like in the 2003-24 season, of the 16 teams that made the playoffs, 13 of those 16 were sitting in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving. So we are 1 week away from things getting really interesting, Jack. And the sample size for the Blackhawks, it's no longer like, oh, this is a cute little run, five games, six games or whatever. I mean, we're 6 weeks almost into the regular season, and the Hawks are still hovering around and looking like a really competitive team doing so. So when you threw that stat out me, 40.8% to make the playoffs, that's got my juices flowing a little bit.
Yeah, that got me excited too. I didn't think it was that high. I think, like I said, last I saw it was like maybe like 18 to 23%. So it's definitely higher. And when you have a nice stretch after those first three games, you're on a five-game point streak and you got the goaltending and rolling through even with injuries and long road trips and weird travel, and you're still doing good, you're going to be in those spots, I guess. So let's see if they can keep it rolling.
All right, so I'm not going to try to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm going to try to put this into perspective on if the Blackhawks are going, if water is going to find its level at some point, which areas could it make sense? But I also want to play the devil's advocate too, like, is there a path for the Blackhawks to actually make the playoffs? And so I'll make a case there, but let's start with if water is going to find its level, here's where it might happen. So there's a stat out there. It's called PDO, which combines the on-ice shooting percentage and on-ice save percentage. And typically the average for NHL teams is 100. And right now the Blackhawks have one of the best shooting percentages in the entire league at 5-on-5 at 11.3. Their save percentage is 9.31, which is third in the entire NHL. So if you combine the shooting and the save percentage together, it's 104.4, which indicates the Blackhawks have gotten some fairly significant, I don't know if luck is the right word. Maybe in the shooting percentage department, maybe that's going to come back down to earth. I imagine the goaltending percentage might come back down to earth a little bit too. I guess what I'm saying is both the shooting and save percentage for the Blackhawks is above what we maybe expected. And so that might decrease and go down a little bit. But the question, Jack, is how much is it going to go down? Like, I don't see the pendulum swinging totally the other way where the Hawks are getting elite goaltending from Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom, where they're just going to completely turn into goaltenders where they're giving up five goals a night. Like, I just don't see that. So if water finds its level, maybe they're giving up one extra goal per game, but I don't see the drop off being so precipitous that it's going to be like oh, there's the Hawks that we all thought. Like, I still think they're going to be competitive enough to either goaltend their way to victories, or the special teams has been really good. Power play, most notably of late. Like, the Hawks are going to be able, the Hawks are able to score their way out of some problems now too, which wasn't the case in years past. So that's what gets my hope. Like, devil's advocate, there's where the water could level off, mm-hmm. is the shooting percentage and the save percentage coming back down to earth a little bit. But I don't see the drop off being so significant that the Hawks are just going to go on like a 6-game losing streak. Like, it still feels like they're going to be competitive in those games.
Yeah, I think they're trending in the right direction. And even if they, Spencer Knight's pace might not be sustainable, but it's not, I don't think he's going to fall off like he said to be a guy that's giving up like 4 or 5 a night. It's probably going to be more like 2 or 3. And since the beginning of the year, they've kind of found their offense. Even with guys moving in and out of the lineup, they've been able to find their offense. And if you think Connor Bedard is going to keep taking that next step and Frank Nazar is going to heat back up, and you never know if or what Oliver Moore is going to do and who else is coming through the pipeline. So I think they could keep that up. And that's going to be the thing, is can they win those 4-3 games? That's probably going to be the big question, if they make the playoffs or not.
All right, so here's the optimistic take about if we are making a case where the Hawks could potentially make the playoffs, which I cannot believe we're saying this out loud. Like,
I know, it's kind of, this is different.
It's different, but it's also like, you know, if it was 2 weeks into the, 2-3 weeks into the season, then it sounds a little silly. But like, we are getting to the 6-week mark of the regular, I think we've maybe already hit the 6-week mark of the regular season. Like, mm-hmm. the sample size is large enough now where it's not so silly, even if it's still unlikely. And so if there is a path for the Blackhawks to make the playoffs, it's that the Western Conference has been a little bit weird this year, where it's been very top heavy, but the middle and the bottom of the standings have been very unexpected. Like, we all know Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, those are the teams that we all expected to be near the top. But you look at some of the teams that are on the outside looking in right now in the playoffs. Edmonton is on the outside, Minnesota, Utah, Vancouver, and notably St. Louis is on the outside. It's like, so those are all teams that I thought would be competing for playoff spots. Now, they all still have a chance. Like, only the St. Louis Blues are pretty significant points away from the second wild card. They're 6 points away, and they have both of the teams in the 1 and 2 wild card spots have a game in hand. But like, Vancouver, Utah, Edmonton, Minnesota, they're all basically tied or within like 1 or 2 points. So it's still like a dogfight there. But if water was going to find its level, like, I wouldn't be surprised if a team like Seattle comes back down to earth in the Pacific, or if Minnesota continues to trend in the wrong direction, if Vancouver still has a hard time getting going, if St. Louis never recovers from this slow start, like, a real case could be made that the Hawks have a chance to at least be one of those teams that are hovering around the playoff spot and are playing some meaningful games going into February, March, and April. And so, again, it sounds really silly, but just looking at how top heavy the West is and how wide open the mid to the bottom has been, it seems like things could fluctuate so wildly that it might not be out of the question that the Hawks could theoretically just continue to be in the conversation for the months to come.
Even being in the conversation would be a big step, though, compared to last year.
100%.
So that, like, even if they don't make the playoffs, but they miss it by 5-6 points, I think the fan base is pretty fired up going into next year. Like, okay, we didn't even get the big star yet, or Bedard turns into that big star. Now it's like, who's the next guy you can get in line with them? And I think that sparks a fun off-season conversation, as long as they're playing those meaningful games and later in February and March and into early April, instead of looking at like the trade deadline and you're like, oh, who are we going to trade anybody, or are we going to buy? I think I saw some people saying they should buy at the trade deadline. Like, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, I see that's where it's easy to start to get carried away of like, mm-hmm. could this be the trade deadline where the Hawks get a little bit aggressive? And like, I definitely don't see a scenario where the only way the Hawks would get aggressive at the trade deadline is if they see, if there's a significantly underperforming team that has a bona fide top 6 player that is on a really good deal, great age, that would fit the Blackhawks long term. That's the only way I can see the Blackhawks getting quote unquote aggressive. But I don't think they'd go, I don't think they're going to get, they're definitely not going to get aggressive where they're giving up future assets for like a rental. And
right.
I don't think any of us are saying that, but it's just funny that we're even having this conversation because I genuinely didn't think we would be having it mid-November, but man, American Thanksgiving, that comes around and there might be lulls in this. Here's what I'll say about that has been a little bit impressive to me for the Blackhawks this season is they're finding ways to win when they don't have their best. And so last year and the year prior, that was just simply not the case. If the Hawks were not on their A game, it would have been a really difficult task for the Blackhawks to win that game if it wasn't a 45 save performance by Peter Mrazek or whoever the goaltender was. And so this year, while they are getting some of the best goaltending in the entire NHL, they're able to outscore some of their opponents as well. Like they put up 5 in Detroit. They put up 4 in Calgary. They put up a 5 spot in Vancouver. They've scored at least 7 goals this season twice. They put up 8 in St. Louis. They put up 7 against Ottawa. I mean, and even in Tampa Bay, they were like 3-2, like 3-1. Like it's not, 2-1 game, 2-1 wins or whatever. The Hawks have been able to win either way, whether it's low scoring or high scoring. And that's been the encouraging part for me. And Connor Bedard has obviously led the way for the Blackhawks in the point production standpoint. But even a game like Toronto where Connor doesn't get off the, he doesn't get on the score sheet. His point streak got snapped, but it's the depth scoring that helped the Blackhawks guide them to a victory with Teravainen and Colton Dock and Ryan Green stepping up. So it just feels like somebody is stepping up on a nightly basis. And I think that's the confidence that the entire group has been exuding where it's like, hey, we're all playing for each other. We're all on the ice surface, but we all have confidence that someone else can step up on any given night. And it's just been fun to watch. And I think that's why it's been a pretty good recipe lately to watch for the Blackhawks, where it's not just the same storyline every game. The two top storylines all season have been Connor Bedard and Spencer Knight and the goaltending. But within the games, there are different, it's like Lefshinov's playing well. It's Louis Crevier's playing well. The power play stepped up this game. The penalty kill stepped up this game. Burakovsky has been great. Tyler Bertuzzi. Yeah. It's like all these different players that are stepping up. And Ryan Donato had a great stretch at the beginning of the season and he's cooled off, but other people have been able to pick him up. So it's just been really fun to watch, Jack.
Yeah. I was thinking that, like when you're saying like the sustainability is it's not like Connor Bedard obviously had the long point streak. And he's gonna produce a lot, but they've got other guys, like you said, that helps when you're able to win different ways. And I thought that first, home game back against New Jersey where they're able to get a point and they didn't play that well, I think that shows a lot of growth. Cause in years past, like we could be sitting here at the studio and they're on the road and they give up a goal 4 minutes in, you're like, oh, this is gonna get ugly fast. This year, it hasn't really been like that outside of maybe one game this year. And I think that's the big difference is even I know Jeff Blashill says there's going to be peaks and valleys, but even like the valleys in the game, which has mainly been the second period, they don't last that long. They still come out in the third and play really well. And I think going on that West Coast trip and competing with a lot of teams that are either really good in years past or supposed to be good this year and winning some of those games, I think that helps build confidence. Because I think as a young team, the more you play like this and the longer you play like this, I mean, sometimes they used to say this with the Cubs, like when all the rookies were up, they're like they're too dumb to understand what's going on.
Yeah, they're too naive to understand what's going on.
You got a lot of young guys and, Frank and Connor are out there just like playing hockey and they're just going out there and doing their job. And I think that's a positive with all these young guys up there.
Yeah. And that's exactly what some of the players from the dynasty era said about the 2008, 2009, 2010 season where they were like, we just didn't know any better. Like there was no scar tissue there from like playoff disappointments or, bad up and down seasons because, it's year 10 for them and they had a career low in the previous 2 years or whatever. Like they're all just growing up together and it's been great to watch. And yeah, you mentioned that the schedule has not been a cakewalk. Like the Hawks have put together, they've have wins against Detroit, against Toronto, against, Vancouver, Ottawa, Tampa Bay, Anaheim. you know, Anaheim is one of the best teams in the league. Like that's a big win that the Hawks had. St. Louis and Utah, they have wins against. Yeah. And so, I mean, the Hawks have wins in there. And then in the losses, it's like overtime loss in Boston. Boston is now on an absolute tear right now. Like they are, I think, leading the Eastern Conference right now in points. You know, a shootout loss to Vancouver, an overtime loss in Edmonton. Took New Jersey Devils in overtime. New Jersey's been one of the best teams too. And so it's been really fun to watch. And so it hasn't been, you know, the Hawks are just cruising through some of these, you know, cream puff opponents. And final thought too, Jack, is the Hawks have been doing this with a lineup that has been really inconsistent as far as injuries goes. Like it feels like the last several games, the Hawks have had several game time decisions, whether it's Tyler Bertuzzi or Frank Nazar, and you know, Jason Dickinson's been out since October. Ilya Mikheyev missed time. Andre Burakovsky was sick for the New Jersey game. Nick Foligno is now going to miss 4 weeks because of an injury. So there's just been a lot of there's been a lot of injuries too for the Blackhawks that have it just seems like they haven't skipped a beat, which has been really incredible to watch. I'm curious to get Jeff Davis from Circa is going to join us on the other side of the break, and so I'm curious to hear his thoughts on whether he feels the Blackhawks are contenders, maybe not Stanley Cup contenders, but like realistic playoff contenders or pretenders. That's going to come up on the other side of the break. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. When the Blackhawks win, you can win. Circa Sports is giving away one grand prize stay and other prizes every time the Blackhawks win. Every time the Blackhawks win, someone will win a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, plus $500 stadium credit and a Blackhawks centennial jersey. Additionally, 100 people will get a $100 credit on their Circa app account. Enter once and you'll be eligible to win on all future game days when the Blackhawks win home and away. See the Blackhawks contest page for details. And speaking of Circa, let's head to the phone lines right now and bring in Jeff Davis from Circa, who's pinch hitting for Mike Palm for our bi-weekly NHL check-in on the latest odds and trends. So Jeff, thanks so much for doing this. How are we doing today?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me, Charlie.
Well, Jeff, we got to get your opinion here because we're approaching American Thanksgiving and the Blackhawks are sitting in a playoff spot. And when Mike and I did our preseason projections, Mike and we had I think the Blackhawks were projected to be dead last in the entire NHL. We're starting to get our hopes up here in Chicago 6 weeks into this season. Can you objectively put this into perspective for us? Are the Hawks maybe pretenders, contenders, maybe not Stanley Cup contenders, but is it realistic to think that playoffs could be a possibility for the Blackhawks after a strong early start so far?
So I was in line with you and Mike. I think I had between them and the Sharks, their season point total was maybe a half or one apart and far the lowest in the league. So yeah, this has been a bit of a surprise. You can look at the playoffs thing two ways. If you look at the underlying numbers of what the Blackhawks are, I ran this from November 1st, so this goes back, you know, 2.5 weeks. At all strengths, they're 30th in the league in expected goal share, 30th in the league in high danger chance share, and like fourth in actual goal share. They've been buoyed by, you know, nothing short of unbelievable goaltending to this point. They kind of remind me of a poor man's Washington Capitals from last season, a team that continued to win at an alarming rate for the first two-thirds of the season. Again, a team whose numbers weren't great under the hood but had unbelievable goaltending. You know, Logan Thompson ended up getting hurt, and you know, they looked a bit more pedestrian after that. But I just, if you look at this just from a numbers perspective, there has to be some regression at some point. I mean, maybe there won't be, much like last year's Caps, but I think it's going to be tough sledding. If you want to look at some positives, you know, after Colorado and then to some extent Dallas, although they just lost Thomas Harley for a big chunk of time and they're going to feel it, Nobody's really good in the middle of the whole league. After you get past the top five teams, there really isn't a lot of difference between Minnesota, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Utah. I mean, these teams, they're all fine, but none of them are like, yeah, this team is going to make the playoffs. So in that regard, if the goaltending stays hot, sure, the Blackhawks can get there, but I would think it's still quite an outlier at this point in the season.
Yeah, man, we are on the same wavelength. That's exactly where my head was at, where you look at some of those underlying numbers and you feel like there is going to be a regression coming because the Hawks have been among the NHL's best in goaltending, save percentage, and shooting percentage. The expected goal share has obviously been near the bottom of the NHL, but their actual goals for has been near the top. And so you expect that bridge to be gapped on some level. But there aren't many sexy teams in the West like Seattle and Minnesota, Vancouver, St. Louis. They've all gotten off to some so-so starts. Seattle has kind of been a little bit of a surprise, but they're not, you know, they're more of a tight checking team. They don't really have any superstars on their team. So I wouldn't be surprised if water found its level there. And so that's kind of the optimistic part about Chicago, is if you're looking at the Western Conference, there is a path for them to, you know, just at least stay in the conversation. And honestly, Jeff, just the fact that the Hawks are in the conversation, I think, is a win in itself. Do you agree?
Yeah, if you're a Chicago fan, you have to be really excited tuning in to watch a Blackhawks game versus what it's been over the previous, year and a half or so. I mean, you have a reason to watch the game, even if the team as a whole isn't as deep as many of the other teams. There are some players on the Blackhawks that are really fun to watch and give a sense of optimism to the Blackhawks fan that, you know, there's definitely a path to success here, if not this year, you know, maybe in 26, 27 or 27, 28 of being, you know, a really, really dangerous team if the front office does it right.
Jeff, let's move to the top of the NHL standings. It feels like Colorado has been the team to beat. They have just one regulation loss all season. No other team has fewer than four, which is just insane how hot of a start the Avalanche have gotten to. It feels like they're probably the favorites to win the Stanley Cup, but what's it looking like after Colorado? Because teams like Edmonton and Florida and teams that you thought would kind of be there aren't really there. Florida's gotten off to a tough start. We know some of the injuries that they're dealing with. Edmonton has struggled out of the gates. Like, they're really inconsistent. So after Colorado, like, what does that pack look like?
So for me, I think there's one team that's being hidden to this point that is very, very, very good, and it's not being realized, and it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm. And they were my highest-rated team coming into the season. Vasilevsky was hurt in the preseason, didn't get any preseason work, and looked a little out of sorts the first few starts. Kucherov got sick, missed a few games. Lately, it's been no Hedman, no Hagel, no Cirelli, no Nick Paul. And when they got hot there in, you know, second, third week of the season and put a bunch of wins together, and their underlying numbers were unbelievable. And I think if you put together what the teams are, like, if every team was healthy, now obviously that might not be the case when we get to May, but if we're talking like who is the best team, I think Tampa, when healthy, them and Colorado, there's a gap between those two teams and everyone else. If you look past them, Carolina should be their dominant self again. They seem to run into goal scoring problems when they make the playoffs. I think Nick Ehlers is going to help that. Seth Jarvis sure looks like a guy that wants to shoot the puck more than he has in the past. And then you also have to consider Vegas. If they can, I mean, they've been without Stone and William Karlsson here for a bit. They've hit the skids. But if you put them two together and on the roster, and if Aiden Hill comes back, yeah, again, a lot of ifs with guys that are getting older. But their ceiling, I think, is very, very high. But, yeah, Colorado to the rest of the league is quite a big gap now, and there is nothing remotely a fluke about their record.
Any concern about the Edmonton Oilers? I was there in Edmonton for the game when the Blackhawks were there on Hockey Night in Canada, and I was watching Edmonton's morning skate, and I was really surprised by how disjointed and quiet and, like, I don't want to say uninterested, but that looked like a team that was like, can we just fast forward to April? Because we got to go through 82 games again after going to the Stanley Cup final back-to-back times and losing and having to deal with all the noise. But there's also this other part where you gotta set yourself up to be in the playoffs so you can kind of prepare your bodies mentally and physically so that way you're not chasing it. And so they find themselves outside the playoff picture right now. A couple of the teams ahead of them also have two games in hand, both the teams that are sitting in the first and second wildcard spot. Any concern about the Oilers, or is it kind of McDavid and Draisaitl, they'll eventually strap the team on their back and they'll get them in, and then it'll be ho-hum once April comes?
I think it's another one you can look at both ways. I think the first and foremost thing is Zach Hyman got hurt late in the Dallas Western Conference Finals last year, and it was very obvious in the Stanley Cup Final how much they missed him. He just came back the other night and missed, you know, the first 18 games or 19 games of the season, and they basically spent the entire five, 6 weeks of the season trying to find someone to play right wing. And now Nugent Hopkins is hurt. And they've just had a lot of, there's been some turnover, there's been some injury, and you look at like the forward group and it's a little bit different last year, and they don't have Victor Arvidsson and they don't have Corey Perry, and these are huge names, but when you replace them with guys that have never played in the NHL before and maybe aren't quite as highly touted as some of the other rookie talent in the league, you never really know what you're going to get. And to me, they kind of look and feel a little bit shallow. I mean, they've always felt like that, but the bottom half of this forward group leaves a lot to be desired. And especially when you really notice it when Knobloch puts McDavid and Draisaitl together, because when they're not on the ice, it just feels so pedestrian. And are they good enough to make the playoffs? Absolutely. Would I be shocked if they didn't make the playoffs? Absolutely. But I want to see what they are when Hyman and Nugent Hopkins and everyone's back, but I just don't think they're quite at the level that they've been the last couple of years.
Yeah, and one of the things about the Oilers, too, is it feels like they lean so heavily on McDavid and Draisaitl in the regular season. Like, their time on ice is always like 23, 24, 25 minutes, and when the Hawks are winning Stanley Cups here in Chicago, like, Kane and Taves are playing between like 18 and 19 minutes a night. Like, the ice time was very evenly distributed, and sometimes I feel like those minutes can add up and take a toll on them, on both Connor and Leon, when they get to the playoffs. And so I think Edmonton would be wise in trying to filter out and divide the minutes more evenly. But Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your insight, and hopefully we'll be able to do this down the road again.
All right, sounds good, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. That was Jeff Davis from Circa Sports. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live after this on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich with you, putting a bow on this show. And Jack, I was at Blackhawks practice earlier today, and there was a goaltender on the ice that we haven't seen in a very long time. And I had to kind of rub my eyes a little bit and say, is that Laurent Brossoit? Because I recognized the pads, I recognized the helmet, and then he took his helmet off and I saw he got the big bushy beard. And it was, in fact, Laurent Brossoit, who has not played a single game with the Blackhawks because he missed all of last season with a knee injury. And then he had off-season hip surgery that was supposed to knock him out for the first half of this season. But boy, it was nice to see him on the ice. I got a feel for this guy, because he's been one of the best backups in the entire NHL. But this poor guy probably feels so disconnected from the team and as a member of the Blackhawks that he's been missing out on some of the fun that the Blackhawks have had this season. And so it's nice that he's just genuinely just on the ice and just being around the guys. That's got to be a big mental lift for him.
Yeah, we thought he was going to play really a lot last year with him and Mrazek, and we thought Soderblom was going to Rockford, and instead Soderblom gets to stay up, and now look at what he's done with that opportunity. But yeah, hopefully he can just get healthy just for his sake, because, I mean, this has been a long road back, and the Hawks, like you said, he's been one of the better backup goaltenders in the NHL, and maybe even coming here thinking he could compete to be like the starter, and just hasn't gone his way. But it's a positive, at least he was on the ice before practice, and then hopefully he can get back into it soon.
Yeah, now to be clear, he's still a ways away from even returning to game action. And I think even when he is ready to return to game action, he'll probably get like a 2-week conditioning stint in the AHL just to get his timing and everything back, because he hasn't played in what is probably going to be a 2-year stretch by the time he ends up playing. But yeah, it was just great to see him. And, you know, I know the Hawks moving forward, they're really comfortable with their goaltending pipeline and Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom. And then in Rockford, they have Stan Berezinoy and Drew Commesso. And in college, they have Adam Guyan. So there's just, the Hawks have a loaded pipeline goaltending wise. But for Brossoit, it's probably nice for him to just want to get back to playing games and auditioning, whether if it's not for the Blackhawks, maybe for some other team. So yeah, really good to see Brossoit. And then last thing, Jack, we were at the game on Saturday and it was the centennial celebration night, putting a bow on the first chapter of four that the Blackhawks are going to have in this 100-year anniversary season. And that was as packed a house as I've seen the United Center in a really long time, probably maybe since the Chris Chelios jersey retirement from, you know, a couple, was it last year, a couple of years ago?
2 years ago, and then yeah. Kane came back that day, too.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Warm-ups was packed. The pregame ceremony, it feels like everyone was in their seats. And our post-game show, so I think the game ended around, it was at 9 o'clock. My post-game show went till 9:30. And I was walking to my car around 9:45. So 45 minutes after the game ended, I was walking to the parking lot and I saw a ton of cars in the parking lot. I was like, what's going on here? So I pulled the security guard aside and I said, is there an accident in the area? Is it like, why is there so much traffic? And he looks at me and he was like, it was a sellout tonight. And I was like, yeah, no, I know there were 20,000 plus people in attendance and, you know, it was a Saturday night and the weather was spectacular, but I legitimately hadn't seen the parking lot like that in a very long time. And then my mind went, oh yeah, this is how it was in the old days. But 45 minutes after the game ended, the parking lot was still slammed because that's how packed the United Center was. It warmed my heart to see, you know, like that's what it felt like when the Hawks were winning and they were competitive, and just the interest level in Chicago has elevated so much. Or in the interest level in the Blackhawks have elevated so much that it's like they're the talk of the town in addition with the Bears. Like, it's really fun to see both of them winning together again.
Yeah, and I was interested to see how this would be coming back after that really good end of the road trip, because it's like, oh, they haven't been home in like 2 weeks. I think the Stan Mikita bobblehead helped with the sellout, but
Tony Esposito.
Or Tony Esposito, sorry, gotten everybody. Stan Mikita was honored.
Yes. And there will be a Stan Mikita bobblehead.
I think that's coming up.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
So, and it'll be interesting to see good this week, because they've played well. They had some really good wins at home, too. So hopefully they can get that rolling here.
Yeah, so it was a really fun night on Saturday. Just been great to see the United Center packed again. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our next show is going to be Monday, November 24th at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then.